to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God.
Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him.
Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken.
But I have trusted in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the Church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely they are planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him? Says the Holy One, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our Lord.
For it is pleasant, and a song of praise to him.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem.
He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted.
And binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars.
He gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the humble.
He casts the wicked to the ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 9th chapter. Brothers, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this on my own will, I have a reward, but not my own will. I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those considered outside the law, I became one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in the blessings. Do you know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is from the Old Testament reading. The comfort that God gives to his people Israel, especially the southern kingdom of Judah, as they prepare for the time of exile in Babylon. This is what the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is our text. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a beautiful description in the book of Exodus of God's rescue of his people from Israel as bearing them up on eagle's wings. Captures the sense of what Isaiah says here. But if God's rescue of his people Israel out of Egypt can be compared to lifting them up on eagle's wings, then what would we call their exile to Babylon? Is that them being sort of let go and dropped from the heights? And David, in his Psalms, talks about how God will help him to run against an enemy troop. But if David says that God's help will be with him when he runs against an enemy troop and will help him to leap over a wall, what do we make of the armies of Judah fleeing? Is God against them? And in the Psalms, it says that a man is blessed who walks in the way of the Lord. And if that's the case, then what do we call the man who walks away in chains? Is that man cursed? Exile, defeat, and chains would be familiar to God's people of Judah and Jerusalem. And even if these things are unfamiliar to you, you probably aren't a stranger to the feelings they had. You're probably not a stranger to the feeling of being dropped from the heights, or of having God against you, or of being under a curse. Every single one of us has had a time that has made our stomachs lurch, like that drop from on high. Maybe it was that time for you when the phone rang. Maybe it was the time you read that note that was left for you. Maybe it was the time that bleeding started, or that time you got the pink slip. Instead of soaring or running or even just walking, you may have found yourself paralyzed, numb, dead inside, maybe buried under. This is what the people were saying in Isaiah's day and in the days that followed. My way is hidden from the Lord. He doesn't see. My right is disregarded by my God. He doesn't care. God's promises seemed meaningless. They may have put their hands up wondering, what's happened to our God? He's hidden. And what about his people? Disregarded, abandoned, forsaken, and weary. And to those people, Isaiah says, no, it is not that way. Isaiah says, the Lord gives strength to those who are weary, and he will lift you up. Do you not know, Isaiah asks? Do you not hear? Has it not been declared? Have you not understood? And he assumes that the answer is yes. He assumes that we have known, that we have heard, that it has been declared to us and understood. And still we need to hear it again. And we especially need to hear it as we struggle with current issues and as we struggle with those times when we feel like we've been dropped by God, that he is against us or we are cursed. And what is it that we need to hear? It's that he, the Lord, who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. We need to hear that he is the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. That he is the one who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. You see, Isaiah points beyond this world. He points beyond this life. To the God, the Lord, who transcends this world, the one who made all things, who measured them and stretched them out, who is above all things. He reminds us that he sees and that he knows. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Not your needs, not your cares, not your struggles or your trials or your sorrows. They are all known to him. And unlike us, because he's above and beyond this world, he doesn't get bent out of shape by the latest news. He doesn't get worked up by what's happening in the world. Now, we may be tempted to compare our God to other things. That's what was happening for his people in Judah and Jerusalem. And we are people who often make comparisons. It seems like our entire life is one of making comparisons, even more so than back in that day. Every day we compare prices and features and quality, and we compare make and model, and we compare our work to the work of someone else. When things went poorly, especially in the time of exile, God's people were tempted to make comparisons. And they were tempted to compare their God against the things they saw around them. How does God measure up to the nations around? How does God measure up to the idols that these nations worship? How does God measure up to the rulers of these nations? And the people who were in exile, when they started making those comparisons, they might have begun wondering at times, if our God is so great, why are we in Babylon? If our God is so great, why are the treasures of his temple held captive by the God of Babylon? If our God is so great, why was our king dragged off in captivity while the king of Babylon sits on a throne? They were tempted to compare their God with the things they saw around them. And I'm not saying they were doing false worship, but it was even that sort of desire and temptation to begin matching God up with what they see and wondering, is he really strong enough? Is he powerful enough to save us? We too are tempted to make comparisons. We are tempted to put God back to back with things of this world and see how he measures up, just to make sure that we haven't missed out, just to make sure that we've got the best possible God we can have. You see, the fear of God's people, as they looked at these other idols and other nations, is that maybe their God was not able to deliver them. Maybe they put their eggs in the wrong basket. They entertained the fear that the Lord wasn't powerful enough. They were believing, but they were of small faith, and they needed a strong comfort. And so that's what the Lord gives them through Isaiah. He reminds them that there is no comparison. Comparing God to the nations or the idols or the rulers is like comparing two things that are completely and totally opposite. They don't even belong in the same category. It's not apples and oranges. I don't know, it's like grasshoppers and the Lord of the universe. That's the comparison. So God says, to whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him? Lift up your eyes on high. Look to the sky and see. Who created the stars? He is the one who brings out their host in number. He is the one who calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might. Because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. It's a sort of amazing picture that Isaiah gives. To look up to the heavens, if there were no clouds and you could see the stars, and we will see them again someday, God willing, that God brings all of the stars out. He knows the name of the stars, and he has numbered them. The picture that Isaiah gives is of the Lord sort of shepherding the stars, like they're a flock of sheep, and not one of them is ever missing. It's amazing to think of that our God has determined the care of all things, and he even loves and cares for the stars. To whom will you compare him? And so we turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there a God who is beyond all comparison. Can he save, was the question. Oh, does he ever save his people? Jesus, who, as we heard in the Gospel of Mark today, was going hour by hour and day by day, serving his people, caring for them, and providing for their needs. It picks up where we left off last Sunday when Jesus left that synagogue where he cast out the unclean demon. And then he goes and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And then in the evening he's gathered to a house and more people come to be healed. He spends all night healing, and then in the morning he goes up a mountainside to pray. A day in the life of Jesus From morning to sunset to the next morning, our Lord is pressed by people in need. They are gathered at his door. They are clamoring for his help. Everyone is looking for you, the disciples say. Can you imagine how weary our Lord must have been when that long day ended? Nowhere to lay his head, nowhere to find peace and quiet, nowhere to escape from the world's needs or the needs of his people, nowhere to get away from their prayers or their sicknesses or their sins. But he wouldn't have it any other way. Our Lord does not compare with any other God because he cares so deeply and so much for his people. And there may have been moments that day when he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law that it seemed like our Lord was soaring on wings like an eagle. It may have seemed as if he was running without being weary as he went from town to town to town preaching the good news. It may have looked like he walked without fainting when he carried his cross on the way to Calvary, that he might be the Savior of the world and your Savior as well. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was long and hard and wearying work that our Lord did, that he might be your God, and that he might be the God to whom no other God, no other thing could possibly or ever compare, that he might be the one to give you strength and lift you up. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary of caring for you. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. And this is what he does. As often as one who is weary, he gives strength. As often as one is in need, he gives care. As often as one is lost, he finds them and brings them home. And Isaiah reminds us of what our God is able to do. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds wear out as well. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint by the strength that the Lord gives. If we're honest with ourselves, the part about mounting up with wings like eagles sounds fabulous. That's what we would like our days and our weeks and our years to be like. To be those who soar through this life, high above everything. But it's not always like that. Sometimes it is. Maybe it's enough for us to think of running without growing weary, to keep running that race, as St. Paul talked about it, right to the end, that we may obtain the prize without ever flagging. Sometimes it's like that, but not always. It may be enough for us if God simply helps us to walk without growing faint. It's an amazing thing to see how Isaiah goes from soaring to running to walking. And I'll be honest, it's enough for me if the Lord simply gets me through this life one step at a time without fainting and losing heart. And so he does. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet. You know, the lamps they had weren't like our giant spotlights. A little lamp that might light your way one step at a time. You can't see miles ahead. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you can see the next step that the Lord will take you on. You can see that you have a firm footing in Christ. And so I know we want to soar. I know we'd be really happy to run, but may we be content simply to walk with our Lord and to have him walk with us as we wait on him and hope in him. One step at a time, following in the way that leads to eternal life. And I can guarantee you on that day, when our Lord comes again and we are raised from the dead, our walking will turn into running and will become soaring, and we will mount up with wings like eagles. So may the Lord be your strength today and every day. May he lead you as you walk. May he be behind you when you run. And may he be beneath you when you soar. Until the day comes when the soaring never ends. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
For our adult confirmands, I'm going to have you kneel. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you, Luann, with his grace, to life everlasting.
Amen.
The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you, Joseph, with his grace, to life everlasting.
Amen.
You may stand. Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper with us and participate in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing these, your sons and daughters, to a knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, for teaching them your holy word, for granting them the gifts of baptism, and for bringing them to your altar to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Grant to them your strength, that they may be blessings to this congregation, and that we may be blessings to them, that together we may press forward with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seat. Please stand and we continue with the prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving for sending Christ Jesus into our flesh, for his preaching of the gospel and his casting out of the corrupting works of sin and Satan, which we could not overcome, and that by his word he would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that God would give joy to his servants on whom he has laid the necessity to preach the gospel, that many would be saved in every nation, and that together we may share in the blessings of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christian homes, and for the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, for husbands and wives, parents and children, that they may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of eternal life, and for expectant mothers Abby McDermott, Laura Jackson, Nika Sharon, Joelle Brotmarkle, Jessica Posco, and their unborn children, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our land, that the Lord who created this world's foundations and holds might over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth, would graciously preserve it with its produce and industry, and for our leaders and our people, that God would not disregard us for our sins, but renew us, that our lives may be peaceful and our country governed according to his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in any need, that in our prayers they would be brought to the great physician of body and soul, whose hand turns away demon, disease, and every ill effect of sin, especially for Virginia Fleming, Nanel, Phyllis Moss, Barbara Palamaki, Ed Pinard, Maura Albert, David Salcido, Zach and his parents, Alicia Reinhart, Sue Richard, Ted Roberts, Greg Sari, Rick and Patty Silvestro, Jane Smith, Michelle Studlian, Mary Lou Thompson, Luann Trigo, and for all who have the coronavirus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune, that we would come to Christ's supper believing that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation, and that the blood of Christ, which atoned for our sins, would make us whole, strengthen us against every spiritual attack of the devil, turn us in love toward our neighbor, and preserve us in body and soul to life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
To the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through this, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God,
now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you. welcomes the family. Joe welcomes the family. We have a little gift to give you as we welcome you to our congregation. Big gift, so something for each of you, and then some other information and continuing education. You're welcome. We're excited to have you as part of our congregation and to hopefully in the future have you part of our congregation as we return to regular congregational life. But it's good to have you here this morning. It'll be good to receive the others at the next service as well. Let's stand and put together singing the doxology. You can turn and face the altar with me as we return praise to our God.